It's official. I am hooked. I love the World Cup. Anybody else? So let's get it straight. Football is football. This is America, right? I'm not calling it football, but I love soccer. Is anybody with me? So I love watching the World Cup, but I don't understand it. Right, I feel like as soon as I start to understand the game, it's like the rules change. Right, all of a sudden somebody's got to stand on the sidelines, or we're just adding time to the game, or we're taking a hydration break. This is America, bro. 250, get some Gatorade, get back in the game. Right, and just when it gets good, it's like the referees who appear to love rules more than they love the game, they just come in and spoil all the fun. It's like there are 613 rules that I don't understand and couldn't follow. And today, as we continue in our series called The Table, we join Jesus and his disciples at his final meal before his death, and Jesus tells them the rules are about to change. Because at this time, there were, if you count them, 613 rules and laws that people had to follow in order to satisfy God. And just when they thought they had a handle on it, the Pharisees, who appear to love rules more than anything else, come in and correct them. So at the table of the Last Supper, Jesus announced that he would be the perfect sacrifice that would fulfill every law and rule of God and satisfy God. That Jesus would suffer for our salvation. He told them that he would be broken so we could be made whole, that his blood would be poured out so we could be made clean. And if this text and this teaching is something today that you feel like you know and you've heard, the goal is that we remember. Because Jesus did all of this and said, remember. Because he knew we are prone to wander. He knew there's a time that a lot of us in this room would, our hearts would be captured by what he did for us, and we drift. There's a time when we are overwhelmed with how broken we are and how much we need his healing, and then there are times that we think, I'm doing pretty good. And Jesus knew all of that, so he gave us this meal and said, remember. So let's pray. God, we thank you that you know us so well, and you still love us. That you knew the choices we would make, the things we would choose over you, and you love us. We thank you that Jesus knew that he would be betrayed and still gave his life for us. So today, may we remember what is true and be overwhelmed by it. And I pray for the person today who is here who needs hope, who may need a reason to keep going another day. God, would you give them that reason? Would you let them know how deeply you love them, that you see them, that you know them, that you're with them, and you love them? God, would we know that love that you've revealed through your son, Jesus? In spirit, would you preach a better sermon than I'm about to? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to join Jesus at the table in Luke 22, verse 7, if you want to turn there. Luke chapter 22, verse 7. Luke 22, 7. Now the festival of unleavened bread arrived when the Passover lamb is sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead and said, go and prepare the Passover meal so we can eat it together. Where do you want us to prepare it? They asked him. He replied, as soon as you enter Jerusalem, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up, and that is where you should prepare our meal. So they went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said. And they prepared the Passover meal there. And when the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, "I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. And then he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come." So we're going to stop there for now. We'll keep moving on. But in this picture, Jesus and his disciples are celebrating Passover. And this is a long festival, but part of it is this meal that commemorates God's rescue of his people, the Israelites, out of slavery in Egypt. So the Egyptian leader, Pharaoh, he had enslaved God's people and refused to let them go. So God announced the consequence of Pharaoh's actions, the death of every firstborn in Egypt. But in order to spare his people, God told the Israelites to sacrifice a perfect, spotless lamb and take its blood and paint it over the door of their house. I know this all sounds really weird, but God gives us this beautiful picture that will come alive in our lives today. So hang in there. But they paint this over the door of their house, and then God said to his people, "And then stay in your home tonight under the blood of that lamb." So a house that had no blood over the door meant the firstborn in that home would die. This understandably made Pharaoh change his mind, right? He not only told the Israelites they could leave, he demanded. In Hebrew, he said, "Get on out of here now. Go." So the Israelites celebrate Passover as a reminder of God's rescue that was marked by the blood of a perfect, spotless lamb. So I don't want to bury the lead here. So just here's the beauty of Passover for us today. Jesus is the perfect, spotless lamb that was sacrificed for us. His blood painted on our heart saves us. When God sees the blood of his son that we have received through faith in him, he sees that and his judgment is turned away and we are set free and we have life. Like that night in Egypt when the Lord passed through the city, every door that had blood over it, he passed over that house, Passover. So when we have the blood of Jesus on our hearts through faith in him, we are given life. And God passes his judgment over us. So that's the beauty of Passover for us today. So let's join Jesus and his apostles back at the table. As Jesus reclined there at the table with his disciples, he knew this was his destiny. He knew what was coming. He even heard the words of his cousin John the Baptist echo in his mind when they saw each other's adults, and John said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus knew his power and his purpose, that he would suffer for our salvation. At the beginning of this meal, Jesus knew he would suffer for our salvation, that his sacrifice would be our rescue. And this was not a surprise to him, right? As we see in the story, every detail of this he knew. He gave specifics to Peter and John, and then they went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said. So he himself was organizing the events that would lead to his own death. What that means is Jesus was not a victim. Right? He didn't get caught up in some unfortunate situation. He is deliberately approaching the cross where he would give his life for us and suffer for our salvation. So Jesus continues leading the Passover meal, and he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So with his followers, he gave them a picture of what was about to happen, that his body would be broken, that his body would be torn in two so ours could be made whole. He showed them the picture that he would be broken for our healing. He would be torn apart on the cross so we could be made whole. So he fulfilled what the prophets foretold, that he would be pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. That's Isaiah 53:5 that had been foretold about him, right? Jesus suffered for our salvation, and his body was broken so ours could be healed. In verse 20, after supper, Jesus took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." So the old covenant, which was an agreement between God and his people, it required those people to keep every rule, to follow every law. And when someone sinned and broke those rules, an animal was sacrificed and its blood was poured out, so that person's sin was paid for and covered. So they knew that. Jesus, his disciples, they knew that. They saw this happen. It was a regular occurrence. So Jesus said, "I'm going to give you a picture." He said, "What is about to happen is my blood will be poured out for you." He said, "My blood will be shed for your cleansing." Jesus bled for our cleansing. His perfect and spotless life would be poured out for us to pay for our sins, and not just to cover them like what happened in the old covenant, but to remove them completely, as far as the east is from the west. Lighten up, guys. Come on. It's okay. I know it's holiday weekend. You can wake up and lighten up. That's east, that's west. That joke's always funny. That's north and south. So, under the old covenant, sins would be covered. Right? Under the new covenant, they are removed. Your sin is removed from you. Let me show you how this happened. King David, he was known as a man after God's own heart. He was also an adulterer and a murderer. He journaled about the effects of his sin in Psalm 51. He asked God, he said, "God, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean and clean me from my guilt. Purify me from my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God." Right? He knew that sin stains us. We are stained by our sin, and only the blood of a perfect, spotless lamb can remove that stain. So that is why Jesus bled for our cleansing. So under the old covenant, people sin. Sacrifices were made. Blood was shed. Sins were covered. Then, people sin, sacrifices were made, blood was shed, and sins were covered. And then, people sinned, sacrifices were made, blood was shed, and sins were covered. And then later that day, people sinned, sacrifices were made, blood was shed, and sins were covered. And then, people sin, sacrifices were made, blood was shed, sins were covered. And then, I'm not having a stroke, that's an illustration. You get it, right? It's a cycle that went on and on and on. But under the new covenant, which Jesus says that night, "I'm going to confirm in my blood," under the new covenant, Hebrews tells us God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Once for all time. The stain of your sin is removed forever because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And your sin isn't just covered, it's removed. As far as the east is from the west. Right? And here's what happens. We think the shame that we carry means we don't have a seat at God's table. Right? That he, I know he says he loves me and he's, you know, he's at the table, and I can maybe like get close to the room, but he doesn't want to be with me. When the truth is, that shame is the very reason Jesus came. He came for that moment that you would give anything to go back and undo. He came for the innocence you took. He came for what happened to you that took your innocence. He came for the pain that you caused. He came for the pain that you live with. Right? The very thing that we think separates us from God is the reason Jesus came. He came to sacrifice himself, to break his body, for his blood to be poured out, to sacrifice himself to fill the chasm that separates us from God. That's the reason he came. I got a question. Any creatures of habit in the room? Anybody love routine, thrive on routine? I don't know if it's a yes or a no. Yes. She's figuring it out. So my weeks have like a very normal rhythm. On Friday, and then on Monday, I study the text for the sermon. I think about it on Tuesday. Wednesday, I write a sermon. And the rest of the week, I spend trying to make it good. And my favorite place to review a sermon is on a stationary bike. I like it because it's a whole lot of work that gets you nowhere. So I recently got a new stationary bike. It was very affordable. So the assembly instructions, a lot of it was lost in translation. Do you know what a hot tip is? Like somebody who's really knowledgeable in something, I got a hot tip for you. You only know it if you're, you know, really in the know about something. This bike did not come with a hot tip. It did provide a warm tip. Some things just don't get translated. But here's my, I was studying the sermon on the bike this morning. Part of it almost fell apart. So I might need to look into the warm tip. Here's my hot tip for our scripture today. I think the climax of this whole scene with Jesus and his disciples is this one statement when Jesus says, "I've been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins." He was eager before he knew his suffering was coming to be with his people. Remember, he was in control. Right? He told Peter and John some very, very specific, strange details. And then they went and they found everything just as Jesus had said, which means he knows what's coming. He knew the betrayal. He knew the beating. He knew the pain. He knew the humiliation. He knew the brokenness and the bleeding. He knew, and he was eager. He was eager to tell his people there's a new agreement between God and you. He was eager to restore us back to God. He was eager to say your worth is not determined by how well you follow rules. He was eager to say your value is not based on what you have done or haven't done, it's based on what I'm about to do for you. Hebrews 12:2, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. Jesus endured the breaking and the bleeding for you with joy. In his book, Gentle and Lowly, which I'm referring to every sermon in the series, so if you want a hint on a good book, that's how I give you subtle hints. In his book, Gentle and Lowly, Dane Ortlund says, for the joy. What joy? What was waiting for Jesus on the other side of the cross? It was the joy of seeing his people forgiven. So with joy, Jesus suffered for your salvation. With joy, Jesus' body was broken so that you could be made whole. With joy, Jesus' blood was poured out so you could be made clean. For the joy of seeing you forgiven, Jesus submitted to his Father. His Father's will was done, and he suffered for you. The problem is, we forget. Right? Life happens. We get swept up in busyness. We get consumed with sadness. We go through seasons where something else just captures our heart or even our interest. We get a new hobby and we forget and we drift. Or the enemy tries to swallow us up with lies. So Jesus said, remember. He said, break bread and remember, my body's broken for you. All right, he said, drink the cup and remember that my blood was poured out for you. Jesus says, commune with me and remember that my suffering is your salvation. And he didn't say it because he was angry. He said it because he knew we would need to remember. He actually is the one who designed our minds and our brains to be more like a slate than a sponge, right? Because we know what's true, and we drift, and we forget. So he said, remember. He said, recline at the table and remember that he is eager to share this meal with you. He just simply invites us to remember. So I think the biggest World Cup surprise came to me in the first game I watched. It was a great game. I was proud of myself for making it all the way through. I would look up when I heard cheering. And we got to the end of the game, which is 90 minutes, which I knew. But they said 90 minutes into the game, and the clock kept ticking. The ref had just decided the game wasn't over. Right? We added time. The game kept going. It was not going to end until the ref decided it was over and blew his whistle. He just changed the rules. So when Jesus gave us this new covenant, he changed the rules. And life is still going, right? The clock is still ticking, but the rules have changed, and victory has already been established. Right? This life goes on. Pain and evil surround us, but Jesus holds the keys of death in the grave. This life goes on. We have an enemy, but he has already been defeated by the blood of the perfect, spotless Lamb who took away the sin of the world. And when Jesus sent Peter and John into the city, they went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus said. And you know what's happening right now? Right now, Jesus is preparing a place for you in his Father's home. And when your faith is in him, one day you will go there and it will be just as he said. And here's what's promised. We got a preview in Revelation. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. Jesus changed the rules, and he is in the process of making everything new. So if you've never accepted his offer of salvation, it's on the table. It is paid for. It is offered for you to receive. And I just if you haven't accepted that, I just simply this morning want to ask why. My guess would be part of it is you think all of this is foolishness. And that's okay. God said, I choose things that are foolish to the world to save my people. So that is okay. If that's you, I pray that God's Spirit would open your mind to what's true. It could be that there's something you've done or are doing or caught up in that you think, this is not for me, God does not love me. I want to tell you that is the very reason he came. And I want to pray for you. God, I assume when this number of people gather, there are people here who don't know you, who are maybe just indifferent to you, who think maybe they don't deserve what you've done for them. And I pray that you would open their eyes to truth, soften places that have maybe grown hard because this life is hard and they've had to learn how to fight and fend for themselves. And I just pray that you would meet them right where they are today and that they would know your love and salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you are a follower of Jesus, he invites you to remember. When you're tempted to start that cycle over and over again, right, of trying to make up for mistakes or trying to earn God's love, he says, remember, you were made holy by the sacrifice of Jesus once for all time. He says, remember, when you feel like you need to hide your shame, remember that the sacrifice of Jesus removed it. When you want affirmation or validation from people or a title or what your bank account looks like or what your self looks like, remember that the price Jesus paid for you marks you as invaluable. You will never get the validation you need from this world because the worth Jesus gave you, this world does not know how to express. It's an amount this world doesn't have a number for. So you will never find it here. So remember. Jesus says, remember that he suffered for your salvation, that he was broken so you could be made whole, that his blood was poured out so you could be washed clean. And one day, we will enter that new city. We will enter the new heaven and the new earth, and it will be just as Jesus promised. And you have a place there because of the new covenant that Jesus has confirmed with his blood. Amen? Amen. God, this is a holy time, the sacrament of communion. So I just pray that your Spirit would be heavy here with us as we celebrate this meal. Amen. So since it's the table series, I've been giving us something to chew on. Again, you can laugh. It's okay. It was a heavy morning. It's good. Like, I was concerned about this text because if you were a believer, you might feel like this is stuff I know. And it's like, exactly. He said, remember. So what I want to ask us to do now, the Bible says before we take communion, we should take time and evaluate ourselves, evaluate our hearts, think about our relationships. And it even says if there is something between you and God or between you and another person that's coming between you and God, as much as you can, you need to make it right. So I'm going to say this, and I really mean it. Like, if there is something happening with you and another person that you need to deal with before you take communion, do it. We have really good cell phone service in this building. You can text or step outside and make a call or go drive to that person. And if that's you and you need to do that, I'll meet you here later today and do this. I mean it. So I just want to ask, like, when we focus on this text today, what is it that you need to be reminded that Jesus forgave you and cleansed you once for all time? The thing that came to mind, the thing you thought of, bring it to mind again. And as you take communion, remember that through Jesus' sacrifice, you were made clean once for all time. So I'm just going to give us a moment now to reflect on that. Thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. Would you let this meal help us to remember who you are and who we are in you? In Jesus' name, amen.